Hey guys, this is Phil Wright from the Scandaleros and Alligator Wine.
Hi, I'm Jack Wright, his mini-me, and he finally let me out of the basement.
So Jack, now that you're out of the basement, what are you going to do on December 3rd?
I should probably jam out with all the rock stars in St. Louis at Philippalooza.
That's right, Philippalooza 11's coming up, right? Where are we having that?
Oh, the old Rock House, nice place.
Nice place, yeah, we like that place a lot. So there's a lot of great musicians playing with us that day. Jake's Leg, the Funky Butt Brass Band, the Falling Fences, Al Holiday and the Eastside Rhythm Band, Mom's Kitchen.
They smell good.
Scandaleros. Phil Wright and friends, who... Is that who you're playing with?
I believe so.
I think they were going to let you, finally. All right, Oaksteel and Lightning and the Cluster Pluck will be there as well. The tickets are $10. They're available through MetroTix right currently, or you can buy them the evening of at the door. This is a Schlafly-sponsored event. It'll be a full tap takeover. We'll have a silent auction and all kinds of other fun things going on. Music starts at 3 p.m., ends at 3 a.m., all day long, 12 hours of craziness and music. So we'll see you guys down there at the old Rock House. I'll speak for Jack, and when I say we look forward to hanging out with all you good folks.
Oh, yeah.
Now get back in your hole.
Oh, come on, man. You can't keep doing this to me.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Cha, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We are the Stone
Sugar
Shakedown, and you're listening to Rock
Paper
Podcast.
Woo!
Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Stone Sugar Shakedown.
Woo.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello, thanks.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, woo. This is very exciting. I guess we'll start. Everybody want to say hey and introduce yourselves?
Yeah, Nick here. Hey, everybody.
Tracy, hi.
Tommy, hello.
Hey, I'm Jesse.
Yeah.
And that's Indiana Jones.
Okay. And Jesse's lap.
Yep.
Yeah, making a few special guest appearances on our acoustic jamming we were doing here.
Yep. Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I figured, I thought this would be cool to hang. We got, a new record to talk about. We got, you know, some shows coming up and all kinds of fun things. And, so yeah, I guess, so we got, on the calendar for, you mark your dates for December 2nd.
2nd and 3rd.
And 3rd. 2nd with, at Redfish, Bluefish in St. Charles, Missouri. With my friends and yours, Cluster Pluck.
That's correct.
Who also are working on a brand new record set, I think, December 17th or something like that. So
nice.
Yeah, so that'll be coming out. So they got a bunch of new stuff to play. And
Cluster Plug.
Yeah, there you go.
Plugging me out.
Yeah. I love them. They're a lot of fun. I was hanging with them at Oyster Bar not too long ago. So
nice.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah. And then on December 3rd, come out to Mangia Italiano. That's, is that on Grand? Is that right?
Yeah, I think South Grand.
Yeah.
With the spaceship.
Yeah, another friend of the show. We hung out with them not too long ago, sitting talking about their record. So
nice.
Yeah.
They just had that festival in Kirkwood.
Yeah. They, they're a lot of fun, though. They got a good sound. A lot more kind of jazzy influence and stuff in there, but really good stuff.
Yeah, hopefully both those shows will be doing a little jamming
with
some of the people in the other groups.
Right on.
Yeah, that's a Friday and Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be a good weekend.
Cool.
But yeah, so we mentioned new record, Words, available now. But on Spotify and
iTunes
and all that,
YouTube.
And
the website,
pretty much everywhere, right? Yeah,
it's everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. Escaping, really.
Yeah,
should be on Pandora soon too.
Yeah,
we'll see about that.
Maybe.
But it is on the website for free. We didn't end up printing hard copies of it. And we decided just to go purely digital with it and just give it out to whoever wants it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also available to buy if you want to do that.
Voluntary donations.
Sure. I think I don't think that's a bad way to go. I think people that appreciate it and are going to support it, you know. And I think also having it free and, you know, Spotify and other various things. A lot of people kind of rip on Spotify and these other places that because they don't pay hardly any royalties and stuff when people are
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but it's like I think it's a great advertising nonetheless. I mean, people, if somebody listens to the music for the first time and you know, maybe they'll come out to the show and then buy a CD there or whatever it is and put some money in the tip jar and stuff. So
yeah,
so I don't know. I think people are fans and appreciate the tunes. I think they're always gonna find a way to support somehow. So.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it's about just getting as many people to come to the shows as possible,
right.
And that's really the main thing we put our energy and focus into.
Yeah,
the live performance.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the. I mean, everybody's kind of figuring out how to sell music now. You know, it's like things have completely changed from the days of, you know, everybody buying CDs and going to music stores and stuff. Like it's just so it's. But I think the live show is where it's at. You know, you want to, you're making music just to get people to come to your shows, and a lot of times it feels like. But yeah, everybody's kind of in that boat of figuring it all out, whether make a CDs or digital only or vinyl or whatever. But
right.
It's all fun. It's just kind of fun to see everybody's different approach and
and how they go about doing it to sell music today.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, it's also cool too. You could always do some kind of reprint or re-release or something too later down the road.
Yeah, we thought about that a little bit, but with vinyl, we thought about originally doing vinyl. That was our main objective at first, but for one reason or another, it went a different way. And one of the limitations with records is the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start pushing the time, like for a longer record, then you start losing quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's really limited. Some of our songs are a little bit long because we stretch out. So maybe one day we'll do it, but it'd have to be sort of a special thing where we limit the number of songs and everything.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to, probably the 10 songs wouldn't even fit on a vinyl, but I'm not sure.
Huh.
But
yeah. I think it was, I was talking to one of the guys and they were talking about, I think it took like, I don't know, a couple months or five, whatever, something like that. It took a really, it seemed like a really long time to, but it, in order to have their record pressed on vinyl and stuff and manufactured and shipped and everything. And because I think it got, I think it was printed overseas somewhere or something too. So,
yeah.
But anyway, it was just kind of, I mean, it's a, the whole process is a long, takes a long time, right. Let alone trying to figure out how to, you know, what music's going to be put on there and stuff too.
Right. It definitely allows for more artwork though. That's one thing I do like about it, since it's physically a bigger space to work with, so the design can mm-hmm. be more intricate.
Even the vinyls, some yeah. people like film with blood.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
clear.
We could do a tie-dye record.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have
we had $5,000.
Yeah. Wait. Maybe we should buy some vinyl.
I bought the Django Unchained soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
And it's like a blood splatter vinyl.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. And then a group I like, Rival Sons.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, they're badass. They're, but they had like a pre-order for their latest record, and they you could go on the website and do the pre-order, and there was like a, I don't know, 25 different color patterns or whatever you could choose from. You could do, you know, single color, or you could do, you know, different spiral patterns or whatever, and all kinds of different. So I have mine's a black and white spiral and stuff. It looks really, really cool. And
they gave you all those options.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, it was like, and it was all like the same cost, but I thought it was, well, you could really almost personalize and have essentially like a one of a kind record. You know, it's all the same music, but the different colors and stuff. So,
yeah. What if you let people pick their songs or their own record?
Yeah, right.
Is that
yeah.
like cool songs?
Yeah.
Custom CDs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of nuts to what they can do with you know, all the vinyl now and stuff, and I think it's cool too. Some people are talking like doing. I was talking to a group the other day. They're doing a split 7-inch and stuff, and I think that's always a fun option too. Get if you guys, you know, whatever spaceship or cluster pluck or something we mentioned, any you know, anybody do like a split 7-inch with them or something too. That'd be kind of fun to do some cross promotion and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
I never thought about that.
We could do like 10/45s.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like 5 songs.
Yeah.
Kelly, throwing a flag in his face. Kelly, don't you mess with me. Kelly, you want to see. Kelly, the line is too away.
So this the record, like I said, really great stuff. I was jamming on the way over, and just kind of get myself in the right mood, and yeah, it sounded really great. A lot of it seemed like there was quite a few of these instrumental jams, like Island Breeze. We played live here too, but it's just kind of fun to hear those. You guys just kind of laying down some grooves for 5-6 minutes or so.
Gangle Fandango.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, and track 4.
It's track 4. It's
track 4, yeah.
Juicy old track 4.
Space Search.
Yeah, I guess, yes.
Pretty spacey.
It's about half the album kind of thing.
That's what I thought was kind of ironic, naming it Words, because it wasn't a lot of words.
That's funny.
So, but it was...
music is like a universal language.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's a lot in that song, so we figured.
Yeah. What else needs to be said?
Yeah, there'll be more.
You guys,
words to be said.
So, what are these? Is this a pretty big collaborative effort when you guys put together these songs, or where's these ideas start from and stuff?
I guess it's collaborative now more than ever, really. We've been working on some new stuff. A lot of the songs on that album we've been playing for a while, and so they came from sort of a different space, and the music coming from now. There's been a lot of people coming in and out of the band. The people that are playing, well, the people that are in this room at least right now, have been playing for a while, and it's nice to have a little more consistency with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a couple different drummers and a couple different bass players and a couple different guitar players that are on the album that we just put out, because we've been working on it for a while. But we got some plans in the works.
Yeah.
some nice surfy stuff.
Yeah.
Tom, you want to speak on that?
On the surf?
I don't know, whatever.
I'm pumped for it.
Surf's up, y'all.
Get a plan and do it.
Yeah, it's
pretty much all in our heads, you know?
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
But so, it's still there.
Good stuff in the makes, y'all.
Shooting for a big 2017, then?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we should get it done by the summer.
This some year. Of our live stuff gets more surfy than ever. Maybe like subconsciously even. It's just in the air.
Right.
This is a ready song. Do we want to record like Two Key?
Oh, yeah.
Recorded that at all?
Yeah. Yep.
Learned a couple of surf songs like Miserly by Big Old Dick Dale.
Big Old Dick Dale. Family fave.
Yeah. Fun for the whole family.
For
the
kids. This podcast just took a turn for the weird.
Says Jesse with his service cat.
Yeah. He's got tags.
Yeah, you said fiber slap. I was going to tell you my story. I told you I'd save it for the show. It's not my story, but I think it's a great story. But I heard I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and Steven Tyler was on there. Talking about Aerosmith and in the song "Sweet Emotion," uses that vibra slap, and then there's a part where he on the recording on the record, if you listen to it, which I'd heard it a bunch of times and I never really realized it, but the vibra slap broke when he hit it. So if you listen to the recording of the original version of "Sweet Emotion," you'll hear the hit, and then you hear it fall and hit the floor. It's pretty funny that, kind of a little piece of rock and roll history there and
nice.
Listening to that song. So.
Should we educate the listeners?
Sure, yeah.
Not everybody knows what a vibra slap is.
All right.
Here you go, everybody.
There it is.
There it is.
The vibra slap.
Vibra slap. That was... what was the name of that? The one we used it on?
Oh, Kelly.
Kelly, yeah, there we go.
Yep.
So we did some acoustic jamming. We did Kelly and Island Breeze and
Creator and Creation.
And what was that?
River Song.
River Song, yeah. Too. So, right. Yeah, so you hear all those. Any stories behind these songs? Whether the. Lyrics or anything, or any of that kind of stuff that goes into it all behind the scenes.
You want to tell it?
Yeah, there's just, they all have stories to them, really. Like a lot of, and even more than what the songs are about, like just the stories of how they come about.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
I got it.
Tommy's going to work.
All right, see you all.
Yeah, thanks, Tommy.
Have a good one. River Song is a really old song. We just started playing it again recently. But that one came from a float trip. I'm thinking of Turtle Song, the float trip one. Anyway. Creator we've been playing for a long time. Some of the stories are like, they don't make sense to other people. They're so personal.
So Island Breeze was written already when I started playing with you guys.
Yeah.
And I've recently discovered that I'm pretty sure one of my favorite candles is named Island Breeze.
I think that was a subconscious thing there.
Yeah.
Like that song came from a trip that Tracy and I took, and we were just hanging out and playing music and wrote that song and came back and called it Island Breeze just to remember the trip. And
sure.
What kind of trip was that?
The trip to an exotic locale.
Cool. I think, obviously very fitting, very suiting title. Because you totally feel like you're on the island when you're listening, so it sounds great.
Because we were.
Yeah, you definitely captured that moment there.
Thanks, man.
I think that's you said float trips there and stuff. I think that's a great way to write. 'Cause I feel like I don't write music, but I feel like just being out there, you know, with buddies on the river, at campgrounds and stuff, is just a fun time to, and I, even though it's not exactly where I can write a song about it, but I, you know, just creatively and stuff, it's, there's a lot there to be inspired by and stuff,
right.
Just
right.
even just the being there with the friends and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, the feelings are like the conversations.
Right.
Or like the little jokes that pop
sure.
up.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of those, like, among my friends where we did a bunch of them, like, in our, you know, early 20s and stuff. We'd all, before everybody got married and kids and everything else, and we used to, all the guys would get together and we'd go out there for the weekend, and those are still some of the, my favorite stories to tell, because we laugh so hard telling us, you know, how much time, all the times we had there and hanging out, so. So I totally get it. I think so if I were a songwriter, I'm sure I could write a lot of songs about those times.
That's a good inspiration to come.
Yeah, sure.
Those moments.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that, and that's definitely like a Midwest thing. I don't know if you really talk about float trips much, you know, on the coast and stuff like that. So it's, I feel like, you know, but people here in, obviously in the Midwest, I think they'll all get it.
Yeah.
Sure, so.
Yeah. One other thing about the songs in particular is the fact that they change so much over time, because we jam on them and we stretch out and try to make them different, but certain things stick throughout time and certain things kind of fall away for a moment, so they're kind of always changing. So like even the songs that we've been playing for a while that ended up on the album, I feel like that was sort of a slice of time at that point when we recorded them. And even now when we play them, they're a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. So it's progressively moving.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of what's fun about, like, you look at a lot of the, those, you know, you got guys that are like tapers and stuff, they'll go to all these shows and record because there's so many different versions, you know, this, mm-hmm. they did it this way this year or whatever. And
the magical essence of the jam band.
Yeah, right.
The nectar.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Were you guys pretty heavily influenced by a lot of those jam bands of all the Dead and Fish and all that kind of?
Yeah, I think Fish is Jesse's favorite band.
Yeah.
He says it all the time.
I'd say I grew up listening to a lot of Grateful Dead music.
Yeah.
I've always been huge into the scene. Really, I like bluegrass a lot. It's one of my favorites. But I'm kind of all over the place.
Sure.
But yeah, definitely the
consistent
the jam band scenes. Yeah, I dabble. System of Down. I get a little heavy and a little
here and
there. Tool's one of my favorites.
Yeah. I heard or I saw somebody shared. I didn't dive into too much research about it, but somebody said shared a thing saying new System of a Down record coming out, so something to look forward to.
Yeah, nice. Hopefully a few show dates to follow. Like to make it to one of those.
Yeah, I agree. Man. That's my musical taste is all over the place as well. I like a little bit of everything. I kind of tend to lean more towards the artist, you know, like somebody in particular that's doing something different with it, and, you know, instead of just listening to all, you know, rock or reggae or rap or whatever, you know, by genre, it's always usually by artist, so mm-hmm. that's kind of...
More like the kind of creator, the kind of perspective rather than
right.
the particular mechanics of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're hanging out having guys having a couple of mimosas, enjoying
that's right.
enjoying this nice Saturday afternoon. You just played with Sister Rose last night, right?
Yeah, it was a good show.
Nice
last night.
Evening with Stone Sugar Shakedown. How'd that go?
It was great.
Yeah,
it was great. There's a great light show going along with it.
Good turnout.
We don't get lasers very often, so it's always good to have those along.
The keyboard player also did lights.
Yeah,
we had Nick Stanford playing keys and Max White playing drums. So we've only done a couple shows with them. It worked out pretty well last night. It was a lot of fun. We did a lot of jamming, a lot of stretching out. In the second set, we only stopped a couple times. We played Dark Star by Grateful Dead and a couple other songs I really love.
Yeah.
Played a lot of good originals. Yeah. Since we've only done a couple shows with Nick and Max, we've only been able to work up a certain number of tunes, but we did think it was awesome.
Sure. Was Jay there?
Yeah.
Running sound?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure was.
Yeah, he's become a buddy now over the years.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that's a fun room over there. It's always a good time in there.
Yeah.
And good pizza.
Yeah, really good pizza. A while back we were doing a weekly Monday night show there. We did it for, I think it was like 7 months or so. For the first few months we didn't repeat any songs.
Yeah?
So we played.
Yeah, we learned like a lot of
300
music.
Songs or so we played before we repeated anything.
Wow.
But that was really fun, and it was nice doing a weekly gig. But Jay was there every week, and Nick was doing lights at the time, so it's nice that he's playing keys.
He kind of disappeared for about a year, and I saw him again, and all of a sudden he's just ripping on the organ. So where'd you go? Let me look at those hands. Your soul still in there, Nick? Not really. He's doing a great job, though.
Yeah.
I had no idea he played until recently.
Nice.
You know, the cool thing about Cicero is that they've had some awesome shows there, like, It's not the biggest room, but they've had some really big bands like Jazz is Dead played there, and I'm pretty sure Humphreys McGee played there, and Sound Tribe like earlier on in their careers, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think I think it's definitely one of those rooms where, I mean, about everybody's played it in one incarnation or another. It's like, it's kind of cool to hear those stories that are, you know, people rolling through there and playing.
Yeah, like Soundtrack played there, and there's like six people or
yeah,
like less than 10 people at the show at the time, you know.
Right.
and now they play the pageant and sell it out, you know?
Yeah. So how did this group come to be? I don't know a lot of the backstory of behind the band. I know like you're saying it's kind of been some revolving members and stuff, but did you you start this band, Nick?
Well, I guess essentially Tracy and I started it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And earlier on, there was a couple other guys that were two or three other guys that were really consistent with it. And basically, over the years, it's just been a process of seeing how it's unfolded and who is down to keep working at it, and you know, just yeah. trying to keep it getting better and better all the time.
Yeah.
Even throughout the lineup changes, trying to always find what makes it what it is and keep that going, but always trying to keep it changing at the same time.
Sure.
So some kind of red thread that goes through the whole process to make it Stone Sugar Shakedown, but even with different people and different songs all the time. And it's more than just the people playing. I think there's something about the approach of it. It's hard to explain, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes from the Grateful Dead approach to playing shows, I think. The way we structure our set list and approach playing music. I guess originally we came up with the name Stone Sugar because it was the idea of something masculine and something feminine, so stone and sugar, or something like heavy and something light, and just the idea of like harmony and contrast.
Yeah.
You know,
and there has to be both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a yin and yang element.
Very cool. Yeah, I never really thought about it that way, but yeah,
if you look at the symbol too, it's a joining three S's together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. You write some lyrics for the mm-hmm. the group, Tracy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. But do you have any particular like inspiration or anything where a lot of stuff comes from?
I try to keep my eyes and ears open, and people are a good source, you know, inspiration, and nature, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
Stories, experiences. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've dabbled a little bit with writing and you know, more like school paper and that kind of stuff, but it's kind of always been a goal of mine to start writing songs and do that, but I don't know, I just I had a hard time like figuring out where to even start. Like for me, it's like I listen to so much music, so it's hard to like sit down and start to write, because all that comes through is everybody else's songs, lyrics and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so that's where it's hard for me to kind of shut that off, that part of the brain, and be able to make something creative and original.
Definitely. I feel like that's something we all experience at one point in time or another, too. You know, there's just so many influences to come from. It's kind of how do you develop your
sound.
But that's one of the magical parts about it. You know?
You just got to keep doing it.
Do what feels every day. Natural.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, that's obviously all music is. It's like, it's a lot of borrowing from everybody else and making it your own. So, but yeah, it's hard to, like I said, it's just difficult for me and separate the two.
Yeah.
So, this is my creative outlet, is having fun with this, doing the show and meeting artists like yourselves all around town and getting to constantly discover new music right here in St. Louis and around in town and stuff. So.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah,
thank
you
for doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so Stone Sugar Shakedown December 2nd over at Redfish Bluefish, like I said, and that will be with Cluster Pluck.
Mm-hmm,
and December 3rd, Mangia Italiano.
With spaceship.
Yeah. Woo. Good weekend there.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah. So yeah, and then pick up a copy of Words, now available for free on StoneSugarShakedown.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Get on there and grab a copy. Check that out. And like I said, we'll drop in these acoustic tunes. And you want to drop a track in also from the record?
Yeah, I guess words would probably be appropriate. So yeah, go ahead and give a listen to the title track off the new album, Woords.
Yeah. How do you spell that?
W-O-R-D-S.
All right.
Well, thanks again
for thank coming you. Out and doing this, man. Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate you doing the show, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah, dude.
I'll see you all soon.
All right.
They fill your mind and take your time and leave it dry and not nearly as high. Oh, words, lost words, any words, that's what they do. They'll build you up.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.